that wasn't my car. It was the same color, and it's close to my car that I had when I turned 15 years old. My dad bought that car for me, and I got my restricted license. And I went to Florida High from kindergarten to 12th grade, so we didn't have a bus system. And so our parents had to drop us off to school. And so I would drive my Datsun 710, and my dad would be in the passenger seat, and we would drive to school, and it was a stick shift. And man, it was so scary to go up those hills sometimes, and I would pray that I wouldn't be caught on the hill. And I would do the clutch, vroom, you know, go around, and my dad would just laugh, and finally I got the hang of it, and I would drop myself off in school, right? And I said, all right, Dad, take care of my baby, you know. And he would take it to work, and then he'd pick you back up. The day I turned 16, August 20, I got in that car, and my parents were in the driveway. I'll never forget it, but I did forget it. I pulled away, and they said bye, and they never saw me again. I'm just joking. I did come back that night. I'm saying it impacted my father in such a deep way, and he told me this 12 years ago. He said, you know, our relationship changed the day you turned 16. I said, Dad, what do you mean? He said, prior to that, we were riding the car together. I had to take you to drop you off certain places and, you know, et cetera. He said, but when you got your independence, when you got your car, he said, we didn't talk as much. And I didn't even know my dad wanted to talk. And it hurt him, but he didn't know how to say, hey, son, I miss you. And I didn't even, you know, at 16, I got a car, didn't even think about it. And I thought about just how events in life can separate us from our father or mother, and how the events can separate us even from our heavenly father. And things distract us, and our heavenly father doesn't want that barrier in our relationship. He wants attention. He wants dialogue. He wants intimacy. He wants to be a father to you. You know, the greatest commandment backs it up. You know what God wants? Love. He wants him to be the first in our life. Greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God simply wants to be first in my life. He wants to be number one in your life. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be your savior. He wants to be your shepherd, your guide. He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your salvation. God wants to be number one. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to stay in first place? You ever notice that? Like in sports, when you are the number one team, it is tough. You know why? Why is it tough to be number one? Everybody else wants to beat you. Whether that's in sports, whether that's in business. Man, when you are number one, you are a target. In marriage, right? In marriage, that divine order. Our spouses want us to be the number one priority. We want them to look at us and be the number one priority, because that's what marriage is about. It's I want Carla to love me more than the children. She loves the children. She wants me to love her more than I do my work. Divine order. What about God? What about God? It's extremely difficult to put our Heavenly Father first, number one. And it's difficult to keep him there. It's difficult to place him there. It's difficult to keep him there. Every day is a battle, isn't it? Every day, remember to put him first and not allow the distraction to take us away. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 30, or you can see it on the screen. Proverbs 30. In verse 1, the sayings of Agar, the son of Jackie, an inspired utterance, this man's utterance to Ethiel, "I am weary, God," Agar says, "but I can prevail. Surely I am only a brute, not a man. I do not have human understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I attained to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar." Listen to what he says. "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Two things I ask of you, Lord." If you had two things to ask of God, what would be the two things you would ask him? What would be your two things? You know what he says? "Do not refuse these two things before I die. Number one, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." This is what he requests. "Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God." Can you imagine? God said, "You just ask two things, anything you want. What would you ask for?" It's amazing, his request. There are two major distractions he points out here. As I read it, as I'm thinking about my own life and things I would ask of God, and I'm reading it, and it's one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible. It's a wisdom literature, and it gives me, it keeps me balanced. The first distraction, lies and deceit. The second distraction, the extremities or extremes of life. Lies and deceit. "Keep them far from me, Lord." I couldn't do that growing up. They were very close to me, lies and deceit. I learned at an early age that doing a certain thing would produce adverse situations. And I wasn't one of those kids that were hard-headed. Maybe some of you were. You know how you had to get like 5 spankings to get it? If my dad looked at me funny, I was like, "Oh, quit, that's not good. Put that down." You know, that's how who I was. I mean, I wasn't this courageous, daredevil kind of kid. I was cautious. I made sure. I knew my friends were the ones that were knocking their heads up the wall. But I would say, "Oh, he got in trouble. I'm not doing that." And so on the outside, I looked like I was an obedient kid. I only had 2 spankings in my life. And 2 knocks upside the head. One a slap by my mother, and the other was a pounding upside my afro by my father. But I got the point. But what happened was I started to deceive myself and others. I became a lie. I started lying to get people to like me. Baseball and basketball and all these sports, they started to praise me for those things. And so I hid behind athletics. I hid behind clothes and fashion. I hid behind material things because I was saying, "Well, I am better because I have," or "Accept me because I'm doing this." And people did. But it was a lie. I didn't really understand that until I started studying the Bible and reading the Bible and having the truth right in front of my face. I realized that, AB, you can be yourself and be loved by God. You can be yourself, and if people don't like you, oh well. But if you're a liar and you're deceitful, they're not liking you anyway, because it's not the you that you're presenting. So let me be real and honest and raw
and be free. Agar is saying, keep falsehood and lies far from me. They're distractions. Be real. Be who you are. The second distraction is extremities of life, or the extremes of life. The extremes of life can be hazardous because a person with too much may encounter the same difficulty as one with too little. Too much can be a challenge. Too little can be a challenge. And Agar shares this. They're barriers and blessings, I call them. The barriers are things that are too small, too little, not enough, right? They're barriers. Money. How is having too little money a barrier? What do you think? Help me out. How is having too little money a barrier? Yeah. You can't pay all your bills. Now, that's challenging, right? That's challenging. How else is it a barrier, not having enough money? Yes. Worry. Anxiety. Yeah. Yeah. Kidding. Yeah. Feels like, you know, God, you're not taking care of me. I wish I was somebody else. I wish I had more. If I had this, then I would be. We go through so many scenarios. Greg. Make you want to steal. Make you want to steal. Not that we would do it, right? Not that we would do it. Amen? I don't know. Okay, God. Yeah. Help them. Yeah, you know, so I don't have enough. I need to take. I need to get mine. I deserve more. It's a distraction because when you're so worried and focused about what you want, and I say that because I don't know if anybody in this room hadn't eaten in the last 3 days. I don't know if anybody in this room doesn't have shelter over their heads. You know, and so needs and wants, right? So we want certain things, but we don't think, we don't have them, so we're a little upset. But really, are they what we need? Does God provide our needs, or does God provide our wants? And I wrestle with that too, because I feel like I deserve certain things, and I want certain things. And God, why are you taking so long to fulfill your, what wasn't your promise? It was my expectation. Barriers. So having too little in our minds, not enough, or not like somebody else, can provide a distraction or produce a distraction and a barrier in our relationship with God. Because like Bill said, I mean, have you ever been kind of tight and then you start worrying and then there goes your prayer life? Or I know when I start worrying about when the money's tight, I start getting bitter. And going, man, you know what? They told me being a minister wouldn't pay this much. Now look at my friends, and some of them are doctors, and they have all these things, but that's a barrier for my relationship with God. What about relationships? When you maybe don't have that boyfriend or girlfriend or that wife or husband, or when the relationships are strained in our families, we can even blame God or get frustrated. Barriers, real life barriers. Responsibilities, praise. You ever felt like nobody praises you enough? You ever felt like, am I the only one? Anybody else feel that way? You've been there? I mean, you know, you kind of, you know, growing up in sports and people applauding for you, yay, and then even as a minister, people applaud, but then there are times as a minister, people don't applaud, and they criticize. And you feel like, man, I'm trying, and yet all they see are the faults. Man. And so you start complaining, and even that can become a barrier because you want praise from men. I want praise from people versus God saying, son, you did a great job. I used to have this imagery that I would, whenever I felt down or felt lonely or felt unappreciated, I would imagine God being in the stands going, "Yeah, boy, good job, woo!" And that would get me through the day. I did whatever I had to, because too little praise affected me, and it can be a distraction. But what about too much? So Agar says, if I get too little, I'm going to steal. I'm going to take for my own. I'm not going to get it from you. And now when I have too much, man, is that a challenge? Too much money. How is that a challenge? Yeah, Russ. Too much praise. Okay, we can go there too. How does too much praise? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and I believe, and I'll just say this personally, I believe sports, professional sports, or even college sports, even high school at this point, when these kids are receiving so much praise and so much support and so much notoriety, and then when you tear your ACL and you're out, and then they treat you like, well, nothing. That praise was a mirage. And yet we have to be careful when there's too much praise. Too much praise. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Never being satisfied. You know, I read in 2012, the lottery was up to $640 million, and Americans spent an estimated $1.5 billion on tickets. $1.5 billion on tickets. The odds of winning was 1 in 176 million. Something inside of us, we think the more money, the better our life would be. Our problems will be solved. And yet Agar is saying, don't give me too much. Or what I'll do, I'll disown you. Money will become my God. You know, money is a terrible master. It's a great slave, but it's a terrible master. You know, too much. Too much praise. What about relationships? Can we be too focused on our children? Can we be too focused on our spouses? Can we be too focused on our peers and our homeboys and our buddies and our girls? And oh, absolutely. They can take us away from God being number one. God's not going to come down and say, "Can you fit me in?" He already did. He already came down. And he said, "I'm dying for you." What more can he do? What more can he do? Contentment springs from trusting in God as our supplier and gratefully accepting what he provides. Contentment doesn't come from wealth. It's not something you buy. Contentment gives you peace when you depend on God's supply. And that's Brandon's poem. Too much, too little, poverty, riches, they're both threats. And I pray that we would have Agar's heart to be able to say, "God, give me my daily bread." Whew, that's a tough prayer. Just give me what I need so that I won't disown you and keep you number one in my life. Amen. And sometimes I go, "God, just give me a blessing. Test me." You know, God will do that. God tested me, and I'll close in this. A few years ago, a cousin of mine had a lawsuit pending. And that lawsuit was going to pay this cousin millions of dollars. And so she wanted my advice. I said, why do you look for me to get that? I'm not an accountant. She goes, I just need wisdom. And so I said, well, I'll take you to an accountant. I'll take you to a financial planner. And we sat in that financial planner's office for 2.5 hours discussing what could happen. I was overwhelmed. I'm like, my goodness. And a part of me in my mind, you know what I was thinking, right? I'm not going to charge you for that advice. But it sure would be good if you could hook a cousin up, right? And I start thinking about if she could just, she could spare $100,000. Our lives would be, man. And you know what? And I said, okay, trust God one day at a time, right? I couldn't get that off my mind. I was trapped. And I said, God, please help me. It was suffocating. And then I remember going to Proverbs 30 and going, you know what, God? I don't want too much. I don't want too little. Let me be thankful for my daily bread. Let's put God first. Let's make sure that we are putting him first and responding to the greatest command that we could ever have. Love me first. Love me the greatest. And we'll be protected by the extremities of life. At this time, we have a special Father's Day video for our fathers in the house.